It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo, technology, what is it all about?
I grew up watching the Jetsons.
It's happening. Finally. You know, there's a quote by one of the Wright brothers where he said, "I look forward to the day when aviation will be a daily part of people's lives."
When was that? That was probably 100.
That was like 1907.
Right.
So 100 years later, it's actually happening.
Hello and welcome to Danny in the Valley, your weekly dispatch from behind the scenes and inside the minds of the top people in tech. We have a very Silicon Valley-ish episode today. I sat down with Mark Moore, who spent over 30 years at NASA before coming over to Uber, of all places, a couple years ago. And what he is working on is flying cars. Well, as you'll see, he doesn't like to call them that. We'll settle on air taxis. But he reckons that the world of George Jetson, gets up and flies to work in his little pod every morning, will soon be a reality. And I know that sounds far-fetched, but Uber is very serious about this. And they reckon that by 2023, so that's 4 years from now, 4.5 years from now, the first ones will be buzzing over our heads. I think you'll really enjoy the conversation. It's a really fascinating look into a potential future, or at least the direction of travel. And just one note before we get to that, we were going to do two pods this week, but the other guest I was going to have on got the flu, which is going around. We had the plague descended on this house about 2 weeks ago. It was horrendous, but hopefully they heal and we'll get that sorted for next week. But in the meantime, I think you'll really enjoy this one. So without further ado, I give you Mark Moore at Uber. I have so many questions.
Okay, let's do it.
Air taxis, flying cars, whatever you want to call them.
I don't want to call them flying cars because people think they're going to be on the roadways on the ground, which is the last place you want these vehicles because it's all about productivity. Ground is stuck in gridlock at 20 miles per hour.
Yeah.
You want these aircraft up in the sky flying at 150 miles per hour, moving quickly, moving people quickly. So you don't want rotable aircraft or flying cars.
So before we get into the discussion of where things are and what you're working on today, can you just give a brief synopsis of your background, like how you got to where you are right now?
Absolutely. So I joined Uber 2 years ago, and I came from NASA, where I, for 32 years, developed vertical takeoff and landing technologies and aircraft concepts. Especially the last 10 years of my career at NASA, I pioneered what's called distributed electric propulsion, which is the core technology that's allowing all these new electric VTOL air taxis come forward. Brand new technology that lets us design aircraft completely differently.
So you've been working on this since, just doing math here, since the 80s or mid-80s.
Yep.
When you were doing that then, were you like the only guy? Was this a very lonely endeavor?
Well, it was much more focused on military aircraft. So, for instance, NASA spent 30 years developing tilt rotors. The XV-15 was our experimental vehicle, which then later turned into a military capability, which was the V-22.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. It's been kind of a lonely niche of research, which over the last few years has suddenly blossomed into every single aerospace company jumping into this.
If you could just give a sense of where things are today in terms of the technology and what's actually being worked on right now. A lot of people still think of this idea of air taxis or flying, you know, intercity flying transport as either helicopters or just that's it, really. They don't really think of this as a possibility.
Helicopters have been the only choice for the last 60 to 70 years of being able to take off vertically in the civilian market. They've got a lot of things that aren't so great about them, and is why they haven't turned into like real urban transportation. One, they're incredibly noisy, and the community doesn't want to put up with that. Another is they're incredibly expensive. On a per passenger mile basis, they're about $10 per passenger mile. That's not practical transportation. Also, they don't have the best safety record. But even more importantly, that they aren't perceived safe by the public.
Yeah. Because my dad, who's a pilot, I think I mentioned to you, he said helicopters, he says, that's not flying, that's beating the air into submission.
Exactly right. That's what fixed-wing pilots say about helicopters. And, you know, they're kind of right, because there's very bad vibration, and essentially you have hundreds of single-failure parts, and if any one of those fail, that helicopter's coming down. And that's why it's so exciting that with these new electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, they don't have any single part criticality. They are implicitly designed redundant, so that if any single part fails, you still have the thrust and the control to be able to complete your mission and land safely. That is the key difference between these eVTOL and helicopters. And the one other thing is these new aircraft, electric VTOL, are able to achieve a 15 decibel reduction quieter than the quietest helicopter.
What does that mean? I don't know what 15 decibels sounds like.
So for instance, like the cert basis of a helicopter is about 85 dB. When if you look at the background noise level of large cities, it tends to be more like 65 to 70 dB.
Okay.
So what this means is these new aircraft are going to be able to fly
background noise
and go into the background noise. That's what's so critically important for this market to open up.
Right. And so just for the listeners, eVTOL is vertical takeoff and landing, correct?
Right. I know, you know, we aerospace engineers love acronyms, so sorry about that.
That's
one.
That's all right. So what will these look like?
They're being developed in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And
yeah, so it's Uber. Cool, Uber's not building its own.
We are not. So right. We have five different aerospace companies that are all building demonstrator aircraft at their own cost. And the interesting thing is every single one of those five looks completely different, because we are in this Wright Brothers era where everyone's got this new technology that lets you design aircraft so differently. So they're all designing the aircraft really, really differently, trying to figure out which way is best.
But it's basically fixed wing, so it'll be something plane-like?
Yeah, if you want to go fast, you have to have a wing.
Yeah.
Because that lets you have high efficiency at high speed. If you just have a rotor wing or fly with edgewise flight or have a multicopter, they're really restricted in terms of efficiency. If I can put it in context, a helicopter has a lift-to-drag ratio. That's the metric we use for efficiency, of about 4. These eVTOL aircraft have a lift-to-drag ratio of about 12 to 16, 3 to 4 times more efficient. That lets you go fast. A multicopter, they only have a lift-to-drag ratio of about 2. So they're actually worse than helicopters. And that's why every single one of the aircraft that you see being developed for us has a wing.
So you're speaking not in the conditional, but as in like this is going to happen.
This is happening. I mean,
so we are going to have these, I'm not going to call them flying cars.
Thank you.
You're welcome. eVTOLs or whatever.
Air taxis.
Air taxis.
Let's compromise
okay,
on that.
Thank you. So we will have air taxis.
Yes. In fact, we've already announced our first two cities, which is Los Angeles and Dallas, and that will start operations by the end of 2023. And we are on track to achieve that goal. This is happening way faster than people realize. There's already test aircraft that are flying that are proving just how quiet and safe they are right now. So the technology's there. There's a lot of different pieces of this puzzle to put together for this new transportation system. We've got to build the skyports, which are essentially going to be conversions of the top deck of elevated parking garage initially. We've got to build the dynamic skylane control, which is the way that the airspace is managed. There's lots of different pieces. We've got to build the rapid chargers that let these aircraft charge very, very quickly, and in 15 minutes be able to get an 80% charge, and in 5 minutes be able to get a 25 to 30% charge. All of these things exist, but in prototype form, in demonstrator form. All of this needs to be turned into real commercial products.
So the technology hurdles have been surmounted.
Yes.
So it's a question of just scaling it up and choosing the right form and kind of the most efficient whatever.
And establishing the interfaces between them so they can be designed as an integrated, seamless system. So that's one of the most important things that Uber is doing, is we're defining all these different interfaces. Again, we're not building an aircraft. Instead, we're saying, hey, this aircraft needs to be capable of this to be able to interoperate with the skyports. And the skyports need to be able to do this set of interfaces and requirements in order to interface with the dynamic skylane airspace control. So we're really kind of creating the blueprint for this wonderful collaboration partnership that's existing now across industry with many, many different partners.
And aside from being kind of super cool.
It is, isn't it?
What's the point? Why?
I always say this is not just about super cool technologies, even though that's fun. It's about meeting a societal need. And that is the biggest, most productive cities are facing ground gridlock in traffic congestion. And they really need a new choice to permit those cities to remain productive. And if you look at the trends in population over the next 20 to 30 years, these cities are going to get much, much bigger. And if you want kind of an example of what the future probably looks like for Los Angeles or New York, look at Sao Paulo in Brazil.
I've been there. It's
endless skyscrapers, right?
Yeah.
As far as you can see, skyscrapers.
And endless gridlock.
And this gridlock where you can't get anywhere on the ground. And that's why one of the first places where they've turned to the skies is Sao Paulo, where they have fleets of 400 helicopters that are already doing these kind of trips, but they're not doing them well because helicopters just aren't the right type of vehicle to do it. Helicopters really are designed to hover very, very well. They're great at rescue missions, pulling people off the side of a mountain. But we don't need aircraft to hover. We, in fact, don't want them to hover. We just want them to take off vertically, move quickly and efficiently across the skies, and then land. So we really don't want to design these aircraft to be focused on a hover capability. They just need it for 15 to 20 seconds.
Right. Let's go forward to say, let's say 2030, 11 years from now. What does a city like San Francisco or LA or Dallas look like in terms of the transport? Or just, you know, when you're walking around, is this something that you will see?
Yes. So I'm confident you will see it in the, you know, we're already looking across the top, the biggest 50 cities across the world, and understanding how these skyports and these vehicle and this transportation system can map into their plans. You know, we don't want to do this on our own, but the ideal solution is that some of these skyports are located at airports, at train stations, at different nodal locations where you can have the best transportation transitions to provide people the most opportunity. But, you know, in the 2030 timeframe, I mean, that's about when these aircraft will become autonomous. We'll have collected enough data so that we'll be able to remove the pilot with proof that the aircraft can fly safer than a pilot. We need hundreds of millions of trips to do that. So again, we start in 2023. By 2030, we get to autonomous flights, and that's when we can really scale and get the costs down. So a city like San Francisco, you may, well, do you live in San Francisco?
'Cause I live in Oakland.
Okay, so
I lived in San Francisco.
Okay.
And I used to live in London, which has its own congestion problems.
Okay, so these are two perfect cities to say, wouldn't you like to have more choices? I know I was paying $7,000 a month rent to live in San Francisco.
Yep.
It's insanely expensive. London is likewise expensive. Just imagine if you could walk to one of the piers and fly across to Vallejo, or let's say your favorite place is Napa. It's providing a whole new choice for cities to essentially rearrange themselves and to expand to be more distributed in their model. Again, I think probably one of the thoughts you're thinking is, oh, well, then, you know, you're traveling more. Yeah, but you're using less time doing that traveling. And so what's so critical is if we're going to expand the distance that people can reach for where they work, where they live, where they want to do things, it's critical that we do it in an environmentally friendly and sustainable way. And that's why we're committed to doing this from day one as all electric, because it really becomes a forcing function on the utilities to help push them to provide that electricity with very green solutions. And again, by using electric, we're able to dramatically decrease the amount of energy we use. For instance, compared to a helicopter flying the same distance as one of our eVTOL, we will use 10 times less energy.
Right.
So it really
is... So a tenth of the energy.
A tenth of the energy to go the same distance faster. So these really are very, very green, lean, money-making machines.
But is it... Will it make a dent? So, for example, the Bay Area has, I don't know, it's called 5 million, 8 million people. I don't know, whatever it is. A few, many millions.
Yep.
If we're talking about these, you know, a fleet of vehicles that can carry four people at a time.
Yes. This is a great point. Thank you for bringing it up. Because what's so cool about every one of these eVTOL that's flying is as productive as 20 UberX on the ground. So, you know, right
Why?
Now.
Why? How?
For one thing, with every one of these eVTOL, we use pooling. So we never fly them with one person in it. That would be a total waste.
I couldn't have Uber Air X and be like, I want my own plane.
Well, it would be pretty expensive to do that.
Right,
so
right.
Pooling is one of the core technologies that Uber's bringing to this to ensure that it's both economically and environmentally friendly. But in the different studies that we've done across the cities, by having this 150-mile-per-hour cruise speed compared to the 20-mile-per-hour ground trips...
Which is the average speed...
Intercity speeds in
like
the major
cities. Like highway
speed. Highways in and around the cities.
Right.
Correct.
Right, right.
Yeah, so you have this 6 times multiplier in speed... And then by being able to get an average number of people of about over 3 in each vehicle, that gets you to that 20 times ratio compared to an Uber X driving one person around on the ground. So, you know, at any time in San Francisco, you know, there'll be between like 9,000 and 12,000 Uber driving around. We would need less than 1,000 of these aircraft to match the effectiveness of that fleet.
So that's a lot of new planes.
It is. And what's cool is this provides an opportunity for aerospace companies to build aircraft at a scale that they haven't seen since World War II, where these will be made in the thousands. While right now with helicopters, you know how many helicopters are made per year?
I do not. Please wow me.
Across the entire global civil market, it's about 1,000.
So is that it?
Yes. And so any manufacturer is making on the order of 50 to 80 helicopters a year.
I didn't realize that. That's Aston
cottage,
Martin or something.
Yeah, that's a cottage industry of Aston Martins where everything is hand-built and they're incredibly expensive, on the order of $2 million plus. So as we can go to more of automotive manufacturing processes and making thousands of these per year, it provides this opportunity to make them even at less than $1 million and still be incredibly safe, capable machines.
How many new pilots come onto the market every year?
So your dad is a pilot.
Yes.
And so you probably know we're actually facing a pilot shortage. So that's one of the cool partnerships that we've got going across the entire eVTOL industry and with the FAA is what's called an SVO initiative, Simplified Vehicle Operations, so that there's not a lot of helicopter pilots out there. So what we're doing is develop standard interfaces and ways to control these vehicles where even fixed-wing general aviation pilots would be able to fly these vehicles safely with this side-stick controller that essentially has feedback and intelligence built in, but we still keep the pilot in command of that vehicle until, again, every aspect of it's been proven out. So essentially what we're doing is creating an easier-to-fly vehicle that can open up the pool of pilots to take advantage. For instance, in the United States, there's a very large base of general aviation pilots that could now potentially be mapped into this new commercial aviation market for urban flight.
And I don't know if you've thought this far, but would they be contractors like the Uber drivers, or would they actually be Uber employees? Because obviously it's a different skill level. It's a different job, obviously.
It is different, and we're still working out that portion, again, with our partners. You know, we have Embraer and Boeing and Bell. All is have incredible experience, not only developing aircraft, but even getting into flight services. And so we're actively talking across the partnership of what is the best way to do this, both in terms of safety and effectiveness.
So going back to 2030, I presume by then we will have drones will be everywhere delivering stuff.
Yeah, such as Uber Eats drones down in San Diego.
Which is, so you guys are working on your own drones now?
Correct, for Uber Eats. Uber Eats is an incredible market for Uber. It is growing at an incredible pace. And it is, if you haven't used it, you should try it. Because there is nothing like just having food magically show up at your door, ready to eat.
So in that future where we have thousands, maybe tens of thousands of drones flying around.
Yep.
And then you have air taxis.
Yep.
I mean,
a lot of things potentially flying up there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when you look up in 15 years, is it just going to be just like this swarm of stuff flying in our kind of right above us in a way that would just, you know, will that experience be different?
That's a great question. So first of all, it's critical that you're not hearing them. Second,
and drones are loud.
Drones, well, most of them are multicopters.
Yeah.
Again, it's this edgewise flight, and that's why they're so loud. They're not very good flying machines. Again, their lift-to-drag ratio is like 2. They're
right.
Very inefficient. They're slow. They're noisy. They're clunky. I'm excited that we're getting to the next generation of drones, which will make those look like Model Ts. But you're right. There's going to be a lot of things up there. But realize there's already a lot of things up there. There's over 1 billion birds flying over the United States at any moment.
is that a true fact?
That's a true fact.
Okay.
Most of them are pretty small, though.
And very quiet.
And
very stealthy.
Very quiet.
The original
made them the perfect flying machines.
They're the original eVTOL.
Yes. We aspire to be as good as they are.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things that we're doing is my counterpart on our team is another director is Tom Prevost. He also came from NASA. He is one of the pioneers of what's called UTM, which is a set of technologies that NASA has developed over the last 10 years for the unmanned traffic management system.
Mm-hmm.
So this set of technologies was designed with drones in mind to be able to serve hundreds of thousands of drones over any city at one time. So it's really cool where we've hired several people from NASA with this expertise, and we're commercializing that technology where any one of these aircraft, before it even takes off, will be deconflicted in its route from any other aircraft. And at the same time, these vehicles will have sensors so that even from a peer-to-peer level as well, they'll have a second layer of deconfliction on them to make sure that they don't ever get into each other's space. So essentially, there's this cool set of technologies that ensure separation of the vehicles, both at a centralized way and in a distributed way, to provide kind of a, what would you call it, a belt and suspenders,
right,
check on each other.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So I have two more questions and I'll let you go. I think okay. You have a flight. One is around the unit economics.
Yes.
This sounds super expensive.
It is until you realize, again, each one of these electric VTOL aircraft is as productive in generating revenue as 20 UberX on the ground. That's a really important multiplier. The aircraft, look at how Uber, right? We're 8 years old.
Yep.
It's amazing how much we've done in 8 years. But we started as a black car service, right? We started expensive. But then very quickly, we were able to get to an UberX product, which was considerably less expensive. So with any new technology, any new capability, it's going to start a little bit expensive. But again, the nice thing is it's not helicopter crazy expensive. Because
so can you compare what it would cost, say, in 2023 when you're launching this, if I want to go from San Jose to San Francisco, which is 50 miles?
Yep. So let me compare to a helicopter. A helicopter, and I'll do all of this at a per passenger mile basis. Helicopters are about $9 per passenger mile. Right off the bat, these new vehicles are letting us drop to about $5.80 per passenger mile because they're electric. They have so much lower energy costs and are so much more efficient. So that's day one with the first 50 aircraft. But over the next 3 to 5 years, as we essentially achieve an efficient network where we've got 300 of these flying over a city, we're able to make sure that we have 3.5 people in each one of the flights. We have the aircraft operating 2,000 hours per year so that we're amortizing the expense of that vehicle well. Then our estimate is we'll be more at the $1.84 per passenger mile. That's a critical threshold for us because that's right about where UberX pricing is today for you to have an Uber to yourself. Again, the key differentiator is we're pooling from day one. If you want to fly this by yourself, it's going to be an expensive trip. But with pooling and with the high utilization of the vehicles, we're able to get that UberX-like pricing. But what's even more exciting is as these vehicles are made in mass production, thousands of units per year, as we're able to get to autonomous, as we're able to get to the advanced batteries that are much lower cost and last longer, that's where we get below 50 cents per passenger mile, and we can start to compete with private car ownership. And that's stunning.
Do you see the path?
We see the path. We've done the economic analysis. We know what to do to get there. And that's why this is so exciting, because this is not something for the few. This is something we can design for the many and to serve cities to really provide a difference in transportation.
And when Dara Khosrowshahi, the CEO, came on board, I imagine he looked at everything that Uber was working on, which is a lot. Did you have to convince him again?
Absolutely, we had to convince him. And I've had a chance to interface with him many times. I am blown away by him. I think he is one of the best CEOs I've ever interfaced with. And it was a healthy skepticism that he brought to it. But I can tell you very, very quickly, we convinced him. And he spent many, many hours going through it so that he understood it. If you look at his interviews, he's actively talked about this in very intelligent conversations. So we are very excited to be led by Dara and that he is fully embracing this and leading us to this future capability.
I grew up watching the Jetsons.
It's happening. Finally. You know, there's a quote by one of the Wright brothers where he said, "I look forward to the day when aviation will be a daily part of people's lives."
When was that? That was probably 100.
That was like 1907.
Right.
So 100 years later, it's actually happening.
So, what do you think? 4 years actually isn't that long, so I am guessing I'm going to be here in 4 years in San Francisco, so we will see if his rosy projections are true. Obviously, a lot has to happen, but it's fascinating nonetheless. Something like 100 companies working on this stuff, so we shall see. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Like I said, we will be back next week with one, hopefully two, maybe, podcasts, so stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, as always, find me at The Sunday Times or online at thetimes.co.uk, Twitter at Danny Fortson. You can email me, danny.fortson@sunday-times.co.uk. And that's it. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.